Right, we're going to continue our series, I Love Your Word. How many people love the Word of the Lord? Do you love God's Word? Anybody bring your Bibles today? Anybody bring your Bible today? Doing good? Okay. We're really working on bringing our Bibles to church. We know it can be very easy to slip into the habit of realizing the Scriptures are on the screen, so we don't need to bring our Bible. Well, today we put the Scriptures on the screen for those who don't have a Bible, but also because there's so many different translations that we read out of it, we probably would have a hard time following it sometimes. And so we like to put the Scripture that we're preaching out of on the screen so we can follow along. But the downside to that, it's a lot of positive, but the downside is that we can get out of the habit of carrying the Word of the Lord with us. And so we really encourage you to bring your Bible to church. Take notes. Keep your notes in your Bible. Value the Word of the Lord. And so in this value of the Word of the Lord, we've been studying. This is our fifth sermon today on this topic. We talked about the Word of God as the bread. The bread of life, our daily bread. We talked about how it is the water. How we learn to drink the water, the fountain of heaven. That His Word is like a fountain that comes out of us, brings out new life. We talked about air, that the Holy Scripture is breathed and inspired of God, and it breathes new life into us. It breathes new revelation into us. Last week we talked about gaining our spiritual sight. How many have been praying that prayer this week that God would give you your spiritual sight? And boy, what a powerful thought last week as we entered that, and I really felt many of you received that, and I even heard a lot of comments and feedback from you this week as you were saying, God, I received my spiritual sight, learning to receive our spiritual sight, see things, see Scripture more clear, see things around us more clear with spiritual eyes that God is wanting to speak and reveal to us. Well, today I want to talk to you about the thought, learning to turn the light on. Turn the light on. How many has ever walked around in the dark? What's one of the things that almost always happens when you walk around in the dark? You stub your toe, you stub your foot. I mean, how many people like me, you get up in the middle of the night and, you know, I don't want to turn any lights on because I know if I turn the lights on, my eyes are going to dilate and I'm going to be up a while. And so I'm like, I want to keep it just as dark as possible. If I need to go get a drink of water or use the restroom, you know, and I always end up stubbing my toe or doing something. And of course, I wake the whole house up because I'm screaming, ah, you know, so it didn't do any good. But we stumble in the what? In the dark, don't we? We stumble in the dark. We hit ourselves in the dark. We stub our toes in the dark. We trip in the dark. Also, what is the term to turn the light on? You ever heard that term? We use it a lot here in America, especially about when you get a revelation for something or something finally clicks on the inside, and we say, oh, the light finally turned on for me. If, you know, we even see cartoons with a light bulb coming on above someone's head when they finally get a revelation. And so I believe this thought, turn on the light, turn the light on, has a lot to do with even Scripture and what the Word of God is speaking to us today. So let's look at our theme verse today. Our text is Psalms 119, found in verse 105. Your Word is what? A lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Short verse, but very clear. God's Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And it gives us two parts about the Word of God. And we're going to look at these two parts today very clear. I got another two-point sermon. Some of you are going, well, you're I'm spoiling you now. 2 weeks in a row, two-point sermons. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet. Let's look at this today. God's Word is a lamp to my feet. Number one, His Word brings a lamp to my feet. Let's look at this in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Look what Scripture says. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl, but instead he puts it on his stand so that those who come may see the light. Your eye, look what it says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of what? Darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of the lamp shines on you. How many know today that our eyes are the key to the lamp? Our eyes are the key to the lamp of the light shining in our body. What we fill our mind with, what we see, is what fills our life. Now, how many know we've seen a lot of bad things in our life, haven't we? I mean, it's hard. I don't care how good you are. It's hard to live today without having corruption continually fill your eyes. It's very hard in today's society not to allow things to happen. And even memories that flood your mind of things where you've been hurt in your life or bad things that have happened to you or big mistakes you've made in your life. These things that you continue to visualize and see. And what happens is we allow that darkness to overcome through the memory and through our mind and what we intake. And Scripture is very clear that we allow the darkness to come through our eyes. Many people have a hard time with past memories. They have a hard time. Pastor, I just have a hard time getting over this hurt because I can remember what this person did to me. Or, Pastor, I have a hard time going to a higher level in God in my relationship because I remember the great mistake that I made, the great sin that I committed. And we have a hard time going to a higher level, to a newer dimension, when God has called us to go to, because our mind and our heart is full of that past mistake. It's full of the thing that we've corrupted, the thing that we've seen that is full. The darkness comes in and it floods our life. Mistakes keep coming back and flooding our line. You change what's in your mind by what you see. That's what the Scripture just said. The Scripture is very clear. You change what's in your mind by what you see. And so if I am seeing darkness, if I am seeing mistakes, the darkness of my mistakes, the darkness of my failures, if I'm seeing the darkness of things that have been hurt me and done me wrong, how do I begin to change that? Not only through receiving God's forgiveness and learning to forgive others, but also I change those things in my life and in my mind by what I bring in. I bring in. And if God's word is a light, how many know that light always outshines the darkness? It's a proven fact. It doesn't happen. We can light always penetrates and beats darkness. There's no competition there. Light travels at the fastest we know. I mean, it's going to, listen, light always wins. We've never seen darkness overtake the light. Light always wins in the battle of light versus darkness. And so when I put in the light, what is the light? Thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet and what? A light unto my path. And so when I bring in the light, when I'm reading God's word and I'm seeing God's word, I am putting light into my mind. I'm putting light into my spirit. I'm putting light into my heart. I'm putting light into my emotions. I'm putting light to my words. I'm putting light to my memory. I'm putting light, and I'm going to overcome the darkness of things that have haunted me, darkness of regret, darkness of feeling guilty. I can overcome the darkness by filling it with God's light. But how many of us walk around full of darkness and never open up the word of the Lord? This should be the first place we turn to fill our heart and our life with the light of the word. The light of the word, it shall direct us. We fill our mind with the light of God's word. Then it will and shall overtake the darkness. Let's continue to look at this scripture. Exodus 25 and verse 37. This is what's happening. God is speaking to Moses on how to set up his tabernacle. And when he gets to the candlestands, look what he says about the candlestands. Then make it seven lamps. Talking about candles. Make seven lamps, seven candles. Make it seven lamps and set them up on so that they, what? The light, the space in front of it. Now, we know that the tabernacle always has meaning to worship and to what God's presence and how we enter God's presence. Then make seven lamps. What does the lamps represent? Now, listen, the scripture is what? We know the scripture is written by how many authors? One author, right? Many writers. Scripture says that there are many writers, but there is only one author. Every word is inspired and spoken to by who? By God himself. So when God says the lamp is a light into my path and a light in my feet, then we know he's talking about God's word, right? And so when he talks about lamp and other parts of Scripture, we can also go back and look at this because God gave us the definition of what a lamp represents. And we can also use this when we see the word lamp used throughout Scripture. We can also go back and say, God, does this actually fit here as well? And most of the time, it always fits in correlation. It's another lesson that God is speaking to us. So we see here, he says, take the seven lamps in the tabernacle and set them up so that they light the space in front of it. The word of the Lord lights what? The space in front of it. When I keep the word of the Lord in the forefront, it shall light what? The space in front of it. Exodus 27:20. Do we have that there? Good. Command the Israelites. Look what he's talking about. Continue talking about these lampstands. Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light so that the lamps may keep kept burning. What does the word oil stand for in Scripture? We know this, that the word oil, when we talked about this, and who is the Holy Spirit, that the oil represents two things in Scripture. It represents the Holy Spirit and God's anointing, okay? And so when we see that he commanded the Israelites to bring what? The oil, and the oil did what? The oil kept the lamps burning all the time. Oil kept the lamps burning all the time. So when we allow God's Holy Spirit to connect with God's Word, what happens? It burns all the time. How many of us say, I have a hard time keeping my passion. Sometimes I feel it, sometimes I don't. My passion level goes up and down, just like this right here. We can look at this scripture and it applies very well to our life. If we allow the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Lord, the anointing of God, to be joined together with the lamp, the light will always burn bright. The passion will always stay there. The fire will always stay in your passion for God, his relationship with him, for his presence. It comes through that anointing of the Holy Spirit joined together with God's word. Proverbs 6:23. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way of life. What are the commands and the teachings he's talking about? He's talking about the word of the Lord. He's saying it again right here. The word of the Lord, the commands out of Scripture, the teachings out of Scripture, they are a lamp and they are a light. This is what shows us the way. Luke 15:8. We see the story. Jesus taught this parable. He says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the whole house, and search carefully until she finds it? And I wonder how many of us today, when we lose something, what do we often do? We panic, don't we? When we lose something close to us, when we have a disappointment in life and things happen to us that we don't expect to happen, and we lose something close of value. He says, the Scripture says it very clear. You light a lamp, light a light. How do we do that spiritually? I open up the word of the Lord. God, when I lose something of value and I want to find it, where do I find the answer? In the lamp, in the light. When I'm feeling depressed because I'm having a panic attack or anxiety attack about what's happening in my life, what do? I open up the word of the Lord. Allow the light of God to come in and shine in. I allow the light to overtake the what? Darkness in my life. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Because we all have times in our life when these things happen. And so, how do we react? Do we panic? Do we go frantic? That's a natural reaction, isn't it? But if we'll use the wisdom of the Lord, it says if we'll open up Scripture, take in the light, it shall what? Help us find what we're looking for. It shall bring light to what? To the darkness. How many of us use this as our first tool? We don't, do we? We panic. Man, we want to call somebody else. What's going on? No, as a Christian, my answer lies within the power of the light overtaking the darkness. Now, I've been there. I've been at times in my life and I was like, man, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I was talking about Hayden this morning and his surgery, I remember when he was first born and we did not know. We were having twins, and so therefore the ultrasound didn't pick up that he was having a bilateral cleft palate and lip. And so when they brought him out and gave them to us, we're like, whoa, you know, we wasn't expecting this at all. It overtakes you, and we wasn't ready for that. And they bring you, you know, they tell you, oh, it's going to be okay, you're just going to have surgery, and you'll never notice it, you know, and they just blah, blah, blah. And they bring you out this material, it's about 20 years old, and they're like, your son's going to be fine, look. And you're like, I'm looking at the picture. This is not fine, okay? This does not comfort me at all. And I remember being upset, and I remember, you know, having to comfort my own children and family, my wife, and I remember she had fallen asleep that night. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up, and I just began to pray, and I grabbed the Bible out of the drawer there, and I began to read it. And I can just tell you, I could just feel God's presence come into me such like a flood, that my anxiety began to leave me, and just the faith of the Lord rose in my heart. And I just feel I got a peace of God that even though I know we had a tough road ahead of us, he was going to have to go through a lot of surgeries, I knew that he was going to be okay. And I tell you, from that day on, I have never feared anything that he had to go through. And it took away the anxiety. And I tell you, it happens. And it only happened not because someone came and said, brother, you just got to believe. You know, and those times are always good. We need encouraging words from brothers and sisters. But I tell you, you can never substitute when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak light into your life. And as a Christian, there comes a point that you got to learn that, you know what, I'm going to have to do that for myself. Now, it's good to come to church, and we're commanded to come to church. We're taught to come to church. We do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together that we've given as pastors to teach us and to train us and equip us for doing the work of the ministry and to live our Christian walk. But the pastor, there's no pastor can ever, ever do for you what you can do for yourself. You've got to learn that God wants to speak to you, that God wants to bring light to you. And it happens when you say, God, all right, I've got to get a word from you. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But God, I got to hear from you. And we get that personally. God, I'm taking in your light to overcome the darkness that I'm feeling in my life. The second part we see is the light to my path. He says he is a light to my path. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is what? God is light. In him there is what? No darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie. Now, I didn't say you're a liar. This is what Scripture says. It says we're liars if we live in darkness and claim to have fellowship with him, but we're walking in darkness. It says we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another as Christian brothers and sisters, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Look what John 3:20 says. Everyone who does evil, what? It hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that he has been done through what? Through God. This is what Scripture is teaching us right here. It says this, that basically, that when we allow darkness to come in, that when we make mistakes, that when we fail and we're feeling that darkness overcoming us, or when you're feeling that dark side begin to creep up, that dark man, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I forgot, you don't have that. Only I, okay. But when we all have that dark side begin to creep up and those thoughts begin to come into our mind, he says, what's a natural response? Because where darkness is, there is no light. If you love the darkness, you hate the light. That's what he's saying. So if you love your sin, you hate God. That's what he's saying. Either you love God or you love your sin. There's no in between. And so he said, but the natural reaction is this, is that when we mess up, is that we don't want to expose ourselves to the light because we know our sin's going to be exposed. And so the natural thought is when we mess up is we hide. And what do you do when you hide? Where's the best place to hide? In the darkness, man. I came and opened the door this morning to go to my office, and one of the kids was hiding in the dark, about scared me to death. They're like, Pastor Gene, we're playing hide and seek. So sorry, didn't mean to blow your cover. I got to go to my office. Is it okay? Sure. Okay. So anyway, what's a great place to hide? It's in the darkness. And that's what we naturally do. When we make a mistake, we want to hide in darkness. One mistake leads us to retreat back, and we want to hide in the darkness. And as a Christian, especially today, we must realize that when I make a mistake, I do not and shall not, and I need to stop all the pull of naturally wanting to go and hide in the darkness. How do I overcome that? By going and stepping to the light. And there I am what? Purified by the blood of Jesus. Because why? Because when I go to the light, when I go to Scripture, God, I am feeling my mind is having these thoughts of lust. God, these my mind's having thoughts of pride. God, my mind's having thoughts of bitterness and unforgiveness. When I feel those things come in, I go, God, what's your word say? And I open up the word of the Lord and I breathe that in. What happens? That light comes in. And pretty soon those thoughts I begin to have begin to cease, because darkness cannot coexist with what? With the light. And so as a Christian, we've got the answer right here.
I don't know why I struggle all the time with the same sin over and over and over. I just ask God to help me. And
how many times do we take that Bible and pull it out and say, God, no, I am going to read what the Word of God says. I'm going to put in my mind what the Word of God says. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. I'm going to fill my heart with light. I'm going to fill my heart with light. So the darkness begins to go. And the more light I put in, the less the darkness is there. It's a natural reaction in the physical. It's also a natural reaction in the spiritual. This is what we're called to do, people, as Christians. This is what you and I, this is what we're called to do. Because you're going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. Scripture says that he faced every temptation we faced. How did he overcome temptation? Through what? Through the word of the Lord. When Satan came to tempt him, after he'd been fasting 40 days, how did Jesus overcome Satan and defeat Satan? He says, Satan, it is written. He quoted the word of the Lord. You know what Satan did to him? Satan quoted Scripture too. Do you realize Satan knows the word of the Lord? Satan knows Scripture? So you're just not going to get by with Satan. I think God's word says this. He knows what God's word says. And the power and the authority that you have in the light to penetrate the darkness is when you say, God, today I believe exactly what your word says. Satan, it is written that no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of the Lord. And Satan must, the darkness must give way to the light. So I got to bring this in as a Christian. We've got to quit hiding when we make a mistake and letting ourselves go further and further back in the darkness and say, no, as soon as I begin to have those thoughts in my mind, as soon as I make that first mistake, I get up and say, God, I'm going to put your light in. God, I'm going to put your light back into my life. I am not going to fall into this trap of going back in the darkness. I'm going to fill my life with the light of your word. When you feel yourself slipping, we got to read the word of the Lord. Drawn to darkness. We got to what? We got to turn the light on. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to turn the light on. As simple as that. When we feel the darkness coming in, I've got to do what? I've got to turn the light on. You ever been somewhere, maybe watching a movie at your house, and it was about, you know, about dust, and you had the TV on, and then pretty soon you realize that when you turn the TV off, wow, the whole house is dark. I didn't realize it had gotten dark because I was watching this movie. I mean, if we're not careful, that's the way it is. Darkness will creep in, and we don't even realize we're sitting in the dark. We think the light's on. It's not. We got to get up and turn some light on. We got to turn the lamp on. We got to turn the light on. Listen, that's got to be our first reaction as Christians, is that soon as the darkness begins to come into our life, into our mind, into our heart, I've got to learn spiritually. I've got to turn the light on. God, I've got to get to your word. What's your word for me today? God, what is your word saying for me today? What is my daily bread? Where is the fountain that I drink of that brings life? Where is the air that you breathe into me and breathe new life? God's word is a lamp unto my feet. What does a lamp to my feet mean? It means that he's showing me the next step for my life. How many would like to know the next step for your life? How do you find that out? God's word is what? A lamp to my feet. Symbolizing what? At my feet. He's showing me the next steps of my life. It also says his word is what? A light unto my path. Which means what? It means he's showing me which direction I'm going. So you want to have direction in your life? You want to know which step to go in your life? How are you going to get that knowledge? Right here. God's word. Because God's word shows me the direction I'm going in, and it shows me the next step that he has for my life. I find that out through communication of bringing God's light in my life. Consuming the word of the Lord. Bringing it into my life every day. God's word is eternal. Let me say it again. God's word is eternal. If it was written 3,000 years ago, it didn't go void. It didn't expire in the year 2000. It didn't expire 2,000 years ago. God's word is what? Jesus said, I am the word, and the word is what? Is me. And he says, I am what? He says, I am the beginning. I'm the middle and I'm the end. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. So when he spoke a word, no matter when it was spoken in the scripture, it is still true today in my life. It is still real to my life today. It still is a promise that I can hang on to my life today. It's still a command for me today. It is still what God is drawing me to today. It still will breathe life to me. God's word is eternal. It's timeless. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how do I get this word from the Lord? In closing today, let me get this to you real fast. How many of you ever asked them, Pastor, all right, I want to get this lamp thing in my feet. I want to know where God's taking me. How do I get, you ever heard someone say, I got a word from the Lord? How many would like to know today, how do I get a word from the Lord for my own personal life? Anybody here want to get that? Anybody here? Okay, I'm going to teach you real fast. This is how you learn to get a word from the Lord. Number one, right here, A, is this. When we get a word from the Lord, first thing I do is I enter into his presence. Enter into his presence. Psalms 104 says, we enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving in my heart. And to his presence with what? Praise. So worship. When I enter his presence, worship brings me into the presence of the Lord. So when I have something going on in my life and I really need to hear a word from the Lord, the first thing I do is I turn on worship music. Whether I'm in my car, whether I'm in my office, whether I'm getting ready in the morning, whatever it is, I'm turning on worship music. And I'm entering into the presence of the Lord, starting my day off, starting that drive off. I mean, I love it when I have a chance to take some of these long drives. I just want to find myself, maybe I'm going to pick up a kid from grandma and grandpa. I turn on some worship music, and man, me and God, we just have some good times, man. We just us. And how do I get there? First of all, I enter through the gate of thanksgiving in my heart. God, I thank you that God, you are a faithful God. God, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. God, I thank you that you died for me while I was yet a sinner. God, I thank you that God, you sustained me when I didn't think I would be sustained. God, you forgave me. God, you healed my body. God, you've been faithful to me and my family. God, you canceled out the plans the enemy had planned to destroy my life. God, I thank you, Father, because you are a faithful God. And I enter into the presence of the Lord with praise. I'm singing worship songs. I'm allowing the ushering in the presence of God to be there. And then after I enter into his presence with praise, I begin to pray. We enter through prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, present your request to God. So if I'm needing a word from the Lord, I just simply say, God, I need something from you today. God, I need direction on what to do with my family. God, I need direction on what to do with the church today. God, I need direction on what you want me to say this week. God, I need direction on what to do next. God, I need direction on what to tell this person. God, I need direction on my job. God, I need direction in my finances. God, I need direction in my marriage. I'm very clear, and I tell God exactly what I need. And I pray, and I bring it to him. And as I do that, I begin to listen, okay? And so through prayer, I'm not only talking to him, but I'm also listening. What are the thoughts coming to my mind? What are the things that are coming to my heart? What are the things that I'm feeling led in my heart? You say, how do I know if that's God? Let me tell you. If it's good, it's God. Okay? And I can just tell you right now, if it's something that tells you, see, you know what? Don't forget to get milk when you get home. Don't forget you got to go home and do this and that and that and that and kick at the kids. That's Satan trying to distract you, trying to steal away this time. But God's going to tell you, you know what? I've got something better for you. You can change this. You can stop doing this and learn to do this. And so as you feel yourself led in that prayer time, God speaking to your heart, then begin to proclaim it, okay? Proclamation. Proclamation, which simply means this. Read what you're praying about or what comes to your mind. And so I open up my Bible, If I'm praying about my marriage, I'll look in the Bible and see who are some people that had marriages in the Bible. I just read about people who were married in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah, you know, Adam and Eve. I just read about people who were married in the Bible. If I'm praying about sickness, I look in Scripture. Where were people healed in Scripture? And I look at that, and I just read about it. Just read about what God says about healing. You can go on. Nowadays, we're really fortunate that you can go online, and you can bring up softwares that are free to you. Bible Gateway is a great one that I use a lot. And you can just go in there, you can type in your subject. Whatever you're thinking about. God, I'm just praying about faith today. You put in faith, and boom, all the Scripture comes up with faith. Just read that. Just read what you're praying about. And see, I guarantee you, I promise you 100%, God will give you a word for the day. God will give you direction. It happens. It happens, but we got to slow down. We got to prepare for it, get our mind and our heart ready, and God will speak a word into your life. It will not fail. I'm telling you, He will speak to you when we go through this and we say, God, I'm entering into your presence. God, I'm bringing my request known to you. And I take that scripture and I read about it. Maybe a scripture pops in your mind. You don't know why. Go right there and see what that is. Maybe it's just a thought. Well, God, didn't you heal a blind man one time? And Pastor Gene talked about something about he saw trees. And you type in, blind man saw trees. And brings that scripture up. And, oh, here it is. And you read that story. Wow, God, that relates to what I'm going through today. I need to learn to see with spiritual eyes. See, this is how we get a word from the Lord. It comes through what? It comes through His Word. Thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've got to learn, and you've got to learn, to turn the light on every day. If I want to defeat darkness in my life, in my mind, in my spirit, I've got to learn to turn that light on every day. How do I turn the light on every day? This is my daily bread. Drinking from His water. Breathing in the air of Scripture, right here, turning on the light. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, as I'm speaking, maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, you're talking about turning the light on. First of all, I'm just realizing today, as you're talking, that I do not have a relationship with Jesus at all, that I've been checking this thing out for a while, and today as you're speaking, I realize that I need to get right with God. First and foremost, the most important thing you can do today is say that I need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to accept Him as my Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive me my sins so I can enter a right fellowship with Him. I can become a Christian. Know that my sins are forgiven. Know that I'm making heaven my home. Today nobody's looking but me, and you here today and say, Pastor, I want to receive that forgiveness that Jesus paid for me on the cross. Forgiveness that only His blood can do when I accept the power of what He did for the cross for me. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I will not embarrass you at all. I want to give you a chance. Or maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I accepted Him a long, long time ago, but I have not lived for Him at all. And today, I want to come back and just renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you here today and you want to accept Jesus or you want to renew your relationship with Him today, can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, that's me, Pastor? I'm ready to make that decision. Thank you. Anybody else today? Raise your hand. No one's looking at me, and I won't embarrass you, but please, let me see you. Thank you. Anybody else today? You want to join these today? We're going to do this today. I want you just to say this prayer after me. We're all going to say it together, but especially those who raised your hands. Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give it all to you. I accept your love and I accept your forgiveness. I will live from you from this day forward. I will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it from your heart, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand clap, yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, we say it's just a start, okay? It's not the end all, but it's just a start of a new journey. We don't just say a prayer and walk away and everything's okay. We got to learn to go after and pursue a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a journey. It's a lifelong journey. If you don't have a home church, you're welcome here. We'd love to love on you and help you. before you leave today, if you'll stop by our information center back there, we have got a special Bible for you and some other information to give to you. Just our special gift for you today for making this decision. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, I want the light to come on in my life. Man, I want the light of God's Word. I mean, like it never has before. I'm not talking about this light and a little bit of candle. I mean, you want the fire of God to burn bright in your life. You want to learn to allow the light to overcome the darkness. It comes through what? Just like we get up in the habit of turning that light switch on when it's dark, we got to get in the habit every day. God, I'm turning your light on in my life. God, I'm turning your light on in my life that I can overcome the darkness through the power of your word. I'm going to pray for you today. If you feel led today and you want to join me, let's just raise our hands to heaven. Say, God, today, Lord, we want your light to shine bright in our life. Lord, we want your light to come on in our hearts. Lord, we pray right now that the light today of your word and your presence would overtake any darkness in our minds. Lord, any fears that we've had. Lord, anything that we've been haunting us in our mind, in our spirit, I pray right now that the power of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would penetrate their minds, would penetrate their hearts today, God, and they would allow, as they open up their spirit to you today, God, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to come, Lord, and minister to them today, God, that your light would shine, overcoming any darkness, and we feel, Lord, our dark thoughts coming, Lord, and things coming, I pray that we just reach over and turn the light on, Lord. Pick up your word and believe what we're reading and allow that word to come alive and breathe life and bring lightness that it may penetrate any darkness. Father, right now, you've called us to be children of the light, to walk in the light, and to be the light of the world. And God, we cannot be the light of the world if we don't have your light shining in us. So God, it starts right here every day, turning on the light, turning on the light. Before we go to work, we turn the light on. When we're at work, we turn the light on, Lord. When we're at home, when we're driving in the car, wherever we're at, God, we learn to turn the light on. Allowing your presence, God, to overcome any darkness in our life. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for what you're doing. Lord, may we continue, God, to learn to grow in your word, learning to love your word, consume your word, to read it. But we're reading 3 chapters today for 60 days. God, we're a little more than halfway through. And we stick with it, God, as we continue, God, to consume your word, changing and cleansing us, bringing in that lightness. It's just changing our homes, changing our atmosphere as we allow the light of the Lord to shine bright. Father, we thank you together. And we all say together, amen. Amen. God bless you today. If you're a newcomer today, we'll be with you in just a few minutes here in the back room to my right. The rest of you today, we say, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Shake a hand before you leave.